This is the Jerry Callahan Show.
People have been asking me for a couple of weeks. I mean, hundreds, thousands of people, like three guys on Twitter, have been asking me for 2 weeks now. When are you going to talk about the January 6th hearings? Oh yeah, you don't want to talk about that, huh? Do you? You're running from that, you MAGA maniac. Well, today's the day. Today's the day. We're going to talk about the absolute clown show in D.C. And man, I don't think it's working out quite the way Liz Cheney or Joe Scarborough or anybody in the mainstream media had hoped. They thought it was going to lead to an indictment of Donald Trump. They thought this would prevent him from running in 2024, which would be okay with me. I'll say it again. I'm a DeSantis guy. I wouldn't mind leaving this all behind, but I don't think that's happened yet. And I think a lot of people are realizing it is a Soviet-style show trial that doesn't include cross-examination, doesn't include another side. Everyone's on the same team. Everyone's following the same script. It is a joke, and the whole thing just blew up on lying Liz Cheney and her kangaroo court yesterday. We got some of the sound and some of the highlights and lowlights. They found someone. They were looking for a Christine Blasey Ford. They were looking for someone to go out there and act, follow their script and just make stuff up. And they found someone. We got that. By the way, the other thing I want to know, and I keep waiting for it, is where's the crime? Even if Trump threw a coffee cup or threw ketchup against the wall, it doesn't make him look good. It's certainly, you know, they could certainly kick and scream about that. But so what? He just lost the election. He just thought the election was stolen from him. And we all knew he had a temper. Why is that a big deal that a former president was upset, was angry? I'm not sure. But we got plenty on this ridiculous show trial. And we got plenty on the reaction to it. Howard Stern says he has no choice. He has to run for president. And of course, he'll be a Democrat. He'll be a hardcore, you know, pro-abortion Democrat, because that's what he is. And his friends in the media will be right there with him. But he might have some competition for that Democrat nomination. Stephen Colbert's favorite member of Congress was sitting down with him for a foot massage last night. And he asks Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, he begs her to run for president. We have her reaction. I would like to say the dumbest reaction to the Supreme Court ruling allowing a football coach to pray alone on the field for 20 seconds came from The View, because it usually does. And don't get me wrong, their reaction is pretty dumb. But we got Dan Le Batard. He'll never let you down. He's just a radical lefty who he's not on ESPN anymore. I'm not sure why, because he fits right in there. But we have his ridiculous reaction. Actually, it's to the abortion ruling, the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And we have some great sound from The View. And Ghislaine, whatever it is, Maxwell gets 20 years. But according to at least one legal expert, she could still make a deal. And obviously, that's what we're hoping for. We didn't hear her name names. We are hoping she named names. And Dave Portnoy and Kirk Minahan, my friends, Dave Portnoy and Kirk Minahan discussed my reaction to Portnoy's reaction, I guess, Portnoy's reaction to the Roe v. Wade ruling. I'm the extreme one, I guess. I'm the extremist. Portnoy wants to get rid of the Constitution, but I'm the extremist. We have some of that sound and a lot more on today's Callahan Show. But first, today's show is sponsored by Fabric. Life is already complicated. What if getting term life insurance to protect your family could be easy? Fabric has moved life insurance all online, so getting a policy that's right for your family isn't complicated at all. In fact, planning for your family's future has never been easier. Fabric was built by parents for parents to help make it easier to manage your family's finances. You don't need to schedule anything or make time for phone calls or appointments. Just apply online when it's convenient for you. In less than 10 minutes, you can apply, see your quote, and personalize your quote to fit your family's needs. You can also be offered coverage instantly with no health exam required. Fabric also has over 1,600 five-star reviews on Trustpilot.com, and it's fully backed by Vantas Life, one of the most trusted names in life insurance since 1847. So you can feel confident that you're getting a high-quality policy that is perfect for your family. They also have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can cancel any time. Protect your family's financial future with Fabric. Apply today in just 10 minutes at meetfabric.com/Jerry. That's meetfabric, M-E-E-T, fabric.com/Jerry. Fabric Insurance Agency policies issued by Vantas Life. Not available in New York and Montana. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions.
All right, we got to get to this testimony from Jussie Blasey Cassidy Hutchison, the bombshell surprise witness that went before the January 6th committee yesterday. And I'm telling you, they should have just ended it right there. They should have just said, you know, we tried. This person was supposed to provide some hearsay testimony and help us in our attempt to destroy Donald Trump. That's all this is about, trying to destroy the 45th president. They should have just said, hey, we gave it a shot. She went overboard. It didn't work out. We're done here. Everybody who hates Trump hates him even more. Everyone who supports Trump, you know, supports them even more, but this thing is a joke. I am no lawyer, but I've watched a lot of Law and Order. I've read John Grisham books. I'm old enough to watch Perry Mason. You know, I've seen legal dramas. I've seen them object on TV, you know, actually on actual cases on TV, actual trials. I've seen lawyers object and say hearsay probably 1,000 times in my life. Hearsay, sustained. Hearsay, sustained. It's a pretty simple concept. Hearsay is not admissible, except in this joke of a hearing where someone comes out and just makes stuff up that they heard from someone else. And when you listen to it, and we'll get to it, we got some, you say, she could never, ever know that in that kind of detail, you know, and she said it anyway, and they loved it, and they ate it up with a spoon. And shortly after, she testified, she had testified with her hearsay testimony. The people she heard it from refuted her testimony. So immediately, every respected outlet, and there aren't many, should just say, this person is a joke. What she said is just fabricated. It's just made up. The people she alleged to hear that from said it's not true. Some media outlets did that. They did question her. I got the AP story, the AP tweet from 12 hours ago right here explaining that the people she heard these explosive stories from say that's not true. They never said it. It never happened. So how is she even treated as anything but a joke, a liar, an actor, an actress? That's all she is, a low level aide in the administration that Trump says he doesn't even remember. Even if he didn't remember, what she said was immediately refuted by the principals involved. It's just silly. This is hearsay that has been shot down by the people she's hearing it from. There's a few things we'll get to that are just ridiculous, a few things that are just comical. And obviously the big ones, Trump trying to grab the wheel of the beast, the presidential limo, which he wasn't even in. that's how weak this testimony was. But my favorite, hell, there's a whole much here. My favorite is her saying that his supporters were armed with AR-15s. Okay, again, she says this. It's provably untrue. There's not a single video, not a single photograph of a Trump supporter with an AR-15. I think I got the answer to this, though, because it's a mystery where, you know, where they put their AR-15s, you know, when they were at the rally, and then when they marched to the Capitol, then they went in the Capitol. Is this what a ghost gun is? Aaron Hedger, the expert. Is a ghost gun an invisible AR-15?
Yes, exactly. Casper has it ghost guns. Okay. You know, they can walk through walls.
Ooh, okay. So I got my answer. I was wondering, this woman says they had AR-15s. So they were invisible AR-15s. See, here's where the whole theory, the whole concept of them overthrowing democracy, and we'll get to, we got a great off the rails rant from Joe Scarborough explaining how Trump was heading to the Capitol Mussolini style to overthrow the government. The whole concept just falls apart when you understand one thing, the people arrested, and I think there was 800 or more who've been arrested for insurrection. Well, actually, no, for trespassing and for parading in the Capitol. You've seen video of them, and we've all seen video of them. They're mostly, you know, they're, you know, from down south, out west, and they're, you know, blue collar people. They're truck drivers and plumbers, mostly white, mostly male, you know, middle age, young, to all ages. They got Trump hats, the Trump flags. How many of them do you think own guns? How many of them do you think have legally licensed firearms? I'm going to guess 98%. I would say out of the 800, just come up with a number, 800 of them who stormed the Capitol, I'm going to say 782 own guns. How many of them brought their guns? None. At least none got caught. No one got arrested with a gun in the Capitol. So you're telling me they planned to overthrow the government, the United States government. Their plan was to go in there and commit insurrection, and they left their guns at home. They're going against, you know, they think possibly the National Guard, the U.S. Capitol Police, God knows what other, the FBI, and they don't bring their guns. What kind of insurrectionist, what kind of person who's committing armed insurrection doesn't bring their arms? That's it. We don't need any more. We know there was no plan for insurrection or overthrowing the government, or these guys, these Trumpkins, these rubes, these rednecks, these good old boys would have brought their weapons. But I guess they were invisible because this crazy woman says they were invisible. But back to the testimony, hearsay, this is a person who's not, and no real cross-examination. This could be good. These hearings could be good. I'll admit it. I like stuff like this. If they allowed Jim Jordan and Jim Banks up there instead of Liz Cheney and little Adam Kinzinger, if they allowed cross-examination, if they allowed the if there were any real Republicans up there and they could introduce evidence and ask real questions and find out how many FBI guys were in the crowd, who is Ray Epps, why did Nancy Pelosi turn down the offer to use the National Guard? There's all kinds of great questions. They're not allowed in this testimony. Can you imagine if Jim Jordan were there and this woman from yesterday were testifying? They would still be looking for parts of her body. He'd have destroyed her, and it would have been great. It would have been honest, you know, real, instead of this stage phony act we saw from her yesterday. But let's get to it. This is Cassidy Hutchison, the big star bombshell witness. And I don't know how many cuts we have, but it's just one ridiculous scenario after another. It is Julie Swetnick all over again, just making stuff up. You can do that. If you hate Trump enough, you can make stuff up with no fear of perjury. People have asked me that on Twitter. You know, well, if she's making it, well, aren't they going to charge her? Of course not. If you hate Trump, you don't ever have to face. If your goal is to destroy Trump, you don't have any fear of perjury. There is no such thing as someone being charged with perjury for lying, as long as they're lying about Trump. But anyway, let's hear. I'm not sure what you got, but let's hear a little from Cassidy Hutchison's testimony yesterday.
I mean, who says empire? This is MAGA country.
You got the wrong actor there, Ironhead. Wrong actor.
Let's, no? Oh, shit.
That's a different actor. Cut from the same cloth, but...
My bad.
By the way, did you see the picture of her before and after? They put her through makeup and wardrobe and hair and everything. They transformed her, and it worked. I mean, she's an attractive woman, but I saw her picture before she went to do this performance, and after, a different person. They really did dress her up nice, but let's listen to this low-level staffer just make up stuff to...
I like her really
please the court.
Yeah, I like her really sincere smoky voice. Oh my God.
She's got a future in the Democrat Party. I know she wanted to work for Trump. That's another thing. Like a week after January 6th, after she said Trump was leading an insurrection to kill the vice president and take over the country, she wanted inquired about working for Trump at Mar-a-Lago post presidency. That's how upset she was with the 45th president. But let's listen to Miss Hutchison make stuff up.
I said, no, Tony, I just got back. What happened? Tony proceeded to tell me that when the president got in the Beast, he was under the impression from Mr. Meadows that the off-the-record movement to the Capitol was still possible and likely to happen, but that Bobby had more information. So once the president had gotten into the vehicle with Bobby, he thought that they were going up to the Capitol, and when Bobby had relayed to him, we're not, we don't have the assets to do it, it's not secure, we're going back to the West Wing. The president had a very angry response to that. Tony described him as being irate. The president said something to the effect of, I'm the effing president, take me up to the Capitol now. To which Bobby responded, sir, we have to go back to the West Wing. The president reached up towards the front of the vehicle to grab at the steering wheel. Mr. Engel grabbed his arm, said, sir, you need to take your hand off the steering wheel. We're going back to the West Wing. We're not going to the Capitol. Mr. Trump then used his free hand to lunge towards Bobby Engel. And when Mr. Renato had recounted this story to me, he had motioned towards his clavicles.
All right. Keep in mind, as you're watching that, listening to that, she wasn't there. She wasn't there. She has got arm movements and showing like a choking thing and a grabbing the arm. She wasn't there. It is remarkable that this is allowed. We have turned into freaking Ecuador. This is banana republic stuff. This is in Washington before the Congress under oath. All the networks or most of them covering it. And we're supposed to take that seriously? She wasn't there, and she's describing in detail what happened in the Beast. And 5 minutes later on Twitter, everybody's posting pictures of Trump getting into a vehicle. It wasn't the Beast. She didn't. The Beast is the presidential limo, which, in her defense, you could never lunge from the back of the limo to the front. He was in a big Suburban. So she didn't even have the vehicle right. So there's nobody on this committee who can even ask that in cross-examination. Are you sure it was the Beast? Are you sure he grabbed them by the arm? So I know this hurts. This hurts the mainstream media. But once Jussie Blasey Hutchison was done, immediately people start fact-checking some people and find out it wasn't the Beast. She had the wrong car. And then the Associated Press, and this must kill them. She's talking about Bobby Engel, the Secret Service agent, and a Trump security official, Tony Ornato. The Associated Press tweets out last night, Bobby Engel, the agent driving with the president in the SUV, not the Beast, and Trump security official, Tony Ornato, are willing to testify under oath that no agent was assaulted and Trump never lunged for the steering wheel, a person with the matter said. So the Associated Press, one of the biggest supporters there is of the Never Trump movement, great. They hate, that's corporate policy. You must hate to work there. They come out, the two people who were in the limo with Trump, both saying they will testify under oath that she lied. What more do you need to hear? As my mother used to say, I'm going full Biden here. And my mother used to say, if you tell one lie, no one will ever believe you again. I was a little kid. I thought about that. I said, she's right. If you get caught lying, who's ever going to believe you again? They're all going to think all you do is lie. I mean, what? Why does any of her other testimony matter when this big bombshell, the one that everyone on TV, on the networks, and Joe Scarborough were just elated with, they were just running with, that he grabbed the wheel, that the people in the limo, the people he allegedly assaulted, said, we'll testify under oath that that is not true. How does she even get to continue after that? And by the way, the AR-15s, his supporters armed with AR-15s, those scary rifles that kill little kids at school. This is a joke. I'm sorry to say it. If it wasn't a joke, you know, I would probably ignore it. You're right. I mean, because I think the whole thing is staged, and we've seen it with the lights and the former director at ABC, ABC executive, the Good Morning America guy, is making sure the camera angles are all right in the video. And the whole thing is a political rally. It's not a hearing, but this makes it out to be just so dishonest, so deceitful, that any decent person, any serious person, any serious journalist should be laughing at these clowns, laughing at them. And we're saying, I knew I had to do this morning. I had to go to watch MSNBC and CNN, and they're just going over the top about this, talking about them grabbing the wheel. They're running with it, grabbing the wheel. And by the way, they're believing, they're accepting the fact that his followers had AR-15s, magic, invisible AR-15s.
Extreme compact AR-15s that fit in your back pocket, Jerry. You never heard of those?
No, I want to get one, though. I want to get one. But he made sure that his supporters could go to the rally without going through a metal detector, because he knew they were armed. And then he sent them to the Capitol, and he demanded he go to the Capitol, and he was going to lead them in there, these bunch of plumbers and truck drivers, against whoever was there, Capitol Police, National Guard, who knows, who, FBI, God knows they were there. And they were just going to, like, shoot people and hang Mike Pence.
Judging by the crowd looking at them, they're more likely to have an inhaler than any type of gun.
Right. Hey, no, and we found out a number of them were, you know, a little out of shape. A couple of them died of natural causes. One died of a bullet to the neck from a Capitol Hill cop. She doesn't even get mentioned in these hearings. Ashley Babbitt's name doesn't even come up. One person was murdered by a cop, an unarmed veteran, and her name doesn't come up. That tells you how rigged the whole stupid thing is. But we gotta play this. I don't even know how it sounds, but I had to play it because Joe Scarborough was explaining. Even though we heard this testimony, even though we know they weren't armed, even though we know the whole idea of them overthrowing the government is just absurd. Nobody ever explains how that would work. Even though another kind of comical angle on this is that they wanted to hang Mike Pence, and like Trump's or whoever, Mark Meadows, Trump was saying, yeah, good, he deserves it. Who thinks that's serious? I mean, I know they pretend it's, they want to kill Mike Pence, but who actually thinks that Trump or anyone else thought about hanging anybody? I mean, yeah, we're going to hang them outside the Capitol. That's just hyperbole. Nobody actually thinks you're going to hang Mike Pence. Just silly. But anyway, they're running with it. And I think the email or the text chain went out. You want to say Mussolini style. I saw Congressman Jamie Raskin, who led the charge to overthrow the election in 2016, declared that illegitimate, now wants to, I guess, impeach Trump again for saying the election was illegitimate. Anyway, Raskin said he wanted to lead a group, a gang, a mob, Mussolini style, into the Capitol. They needed someone to say that he was insisting on going to the Capitol. They found this actress. She did her job. Didn't do it very well, but she did it. And now they're all running with it. And leading the charge, of course, is Joe Scarborough, who hates Trump because Trump didn't invite him to the New Year's Eve party at Mar-a-Lago. And Trump made fun of Mika's face. And so Joe Scarborough, former close friend of Donald Trump, turned on him, and now he makes his living just screaming about Trump every morning. But he explains how the whole thing was going to work. I needed to know, so I turned on MSNBC and explained it. So if you're unsure how the whole insurrection, unarmed insurrection was going to work, Joe explains it. Can we listen, see how this sounds?
It's very revealing. But let's not forget the bottom line here. The bottom line is the president of the United States knew that the mob that was marching towards the Capitol was armed. He wanted them to get into his event and be able to get into the event without having to go through security, where they would have taken those weapons away. And then the president, in his own words, said they can march, they can come in, and then they can march straight to the Capitol. Him understanding that an armed mob was moving towards the United States Capitol, where there was a vote to certify the electoral count, and they were going to march there. They were going to disrupt it. Mike Pence was supposed to do his job, and if Mike Pence didn't, the president wanted to go up Mussolini style with the armed mob breaking into the House chamber and follow them in and declare himself president of the United States.
Does anyone, I know lots of people, good friends of mine, hate Trump. I understand. They just hate him. He's vulgar. He's crude. Does anyone believe that? That's what they're doing. That's what they're spending millions of taxpayer to paint this silly scenario that they were going to go in there. And the reason I say Mussolini style, I believe, is because Mussolini was hung from a street pole, a light pole. So that's what they were going to do with Mike Pence. They were going to hang him like they hung Mussolini. I don't think it's a reference to Trump being Mussolini. I think it's a reference to Mike Pence's fate. He was going to get hung by this armed mob. And correct me if I'm wrong, but the notion of them being armed just came up yesterday. I hadn't heard this before, that they were armed. No, nobody got arrested with a gun in the Capitol, let alone an AR-15.
You're not enunciating it right, though. I don't know if you heard him. He said it's Mussolini style.
Oh, it is Mussolini. And that was 5 minutes after Jamie Raskin said he was going up Mussolini style. So that's the word of the day. They're going to they're gonna run with that. That's the narrative of the day. Trump wanted to go up there Mussolini style. Well, Mussolini obviously style. This whole hearing, this whole panel, this committee is a joke. It's got no legitimacy, no credibility, but I guess it could get worse because they have the chance to call Bobby Engel, the Secret Service agent, and Tony Ornato, the security official, who are in the Suburban, not the Beast, in the Suburban with him and say that this girl, this woman, Hutchison, is lying. Do they call them? I mean, they don't want any, they don't want to hear any dissent. This is the deal. This is why it is such a banana republic operation. There will be no dissent, no cross-examination. Hearsay is allowed. Character assassination is allowed. Will these guys be allowed to testify under oath that she was lying? If they're not, I mean, just put on a clown nose and clown feet, Liz Cheney, because you are a clown, but we'll see. I'm interested all of a sudden just because I cannot believe this is happening in this country. You know, I don't care if they stop Trump from running again. I want Ron DeSantis. I want Trump to support DeSantis. I want Trump to campaign for DeSantis and have his rallies of, you know, armed insurrectionists wherever big Trump areas. I saw good. I hope they stop him from running. Good. I want to say, but the idea that he was going to go in there and kill people and hang Pence and take the government over and destroy democracy is just so absurd. I think everybody at this point should recognize it. You know, and if Trump threw a fit, the other thing she testified was he used dishes and there was ketchup on the wall. She was describing ketchup on the wall and she wasn't there. It's again, very descriptive for someone who wasn't there. So he threw food or threw a plate and there was ketchup on the wall. Okay. How do you know? I heard it. We were in the lunchroom together. Someone told me, okay, that's not how our legal system works. I'm sorry. You don't get to say, I heard someone say, I heard this guy mention those stuff. That's not how it works. You have to have firsthand knowledge. And if you don't, they bring in someone who does. Well, we'll see. Cause there are two guys who do have firsthand knowledge of what happened in that Suburban. They both volunteered to testify under oath, and I'm going to guess Liz Cheney and Benny Thompson say, "No thanks. You know, we're putting on a performance here. This is a movie. This is a movie. This is a TV show. Leave us alone." But we'll see. I'll be watching. All right, we got lots more to get to. I got to get to this Howie Hampton's thing and this AOC. Yeah, let's do this now. While how much time we got?
What you do? You want to do Athletic Greens first?
Sure. Let's do Athletic Greens, and then we'll tell you about the two leading candidates for the Democratic nomination in 2024. You've been wondering who's going to run against DeSantis. We know, obviously, it's not Joe Biden. We hope, pray it's Kamala Harris, but that's unlikely, too. We have two leading candidates, and they're both wicked, wicked famous. And that, you know what? Should I throw Portnoy in there, too? Three leading candidates for the Democrat nomination. We'll tell you about them and their reaction after I tell you about Athletic Greens. All right, our newest sponsor, Athletic Greens, is a product I've added to my morning routine, and I use it every day. Instead of taking daily supplements for my nutrition, I use AG1 to get 75 high-quality vitamins and minerals, whole-source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to start my day right. The founder of Athletic Greens experienced a bunch of gut health issues, and he ended up on a complicated supplement routine costing him over $100 a day. This led him to take his health into his own hands and create Athletic Greens for a more optimal nutrition routine. Ever since I started taking AG1, I've noticed improved energy throughout the day, better sleep, and improve recovery after my runs and workouts. All I do is put one scoop in a glass of water each morning. I drink water all the time in the morning. Now I just add a scoop and I'm good to go. It has a mild and tropical taste, and it's much easier than choking down a bunch of vitamins in pill form. And it's way cheaper than the alternatives, costing less than $3 a day. If you're going to invest in anything, it might as well be your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Jerry. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/GERRY to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Howie Hamptons is very upset. And the only time I hear him now is when, you know, he goes viral and various media outlets and Twitter accounts post his sound. But he's upset because he's a big, big abortion guy. And he, you know, hates the Supreme Court. I don't know if I think he hates Clarence Thomas. I don't know if he's actually played Clarence Thomas, you know, in blackface, because he does that sometimes. He pretends to be certain famous black people, and he goes in blackface and has some, you know, Amos and Andy dialect that he mocks them, and he uses the N-word and all that. I don't know if he did that, but he did talk about how he hates Clarence Thomas, and he thinks that Clarence and, you know, Alito and the majority in the Supreme Court have forced his hand. He has no choice. He has to run for president. That's and the idea that, I mean, in the old days, he ran for governor, and it was a big stunt in New York, and his campaign platform was to execute criminals and use their bodies, their corpses, to fill the potholes in the street. So he had a good plan back then, and he had a lot of support. Now he's turned into, you know, he's turned into just another, you know, Democrat operative. He's no different than Colbert or Kimmel or Scarborough or any of these guys. So he's serious. He's going to run for president. I think he is. But let's listen to what he had to say yesterday.
I said to Robin, and I hate to say this, but I said to her, I'm actually going to probably have to run for president now. And she goes,
I was trying to push him into it earlier. Now yeah. He's reluctantly stepping up.
Well.
Hold on. One of these dumb videos.
Very hard to have a Supreme Court that has openly lied. Now, you don't mind if I lie to you or Robin lies to you, but when the Supreme Court goes into lying publicly, it really does undermine everything. I am going to do the very simple thing that'll set the country straight. One vote, one person, no more of this electoral college. I'm getting rid of it.
Thanks.
You know what? I'm tired of that, too. They lied. They lied. First of all, they didn't lie. They just wouldn't answer. It seems every Supreme Court justice, they won't answer when they ask them their opinion on a case. They avoid it. Same thing that Ketanji Brown Jackson, she wouldn't answer about cases, and she wouldn't answer what is a woman either, which is strange. But Kavanaugh, Alito, Gorsuch, they wouldn't answer. And secondly, the people saying Kavanaugh wasn't honest with them are the same people who said he was a serial rapist who drugged women and raped them in high school. He owes those people nothing. I wouldn't care if he did lie to them. I wouldn't care if he misled them all day. These same people saying that, lying about him, trying to destroy him in front of his family, say, gee, he wasn't 100% candid with us. Let's impeach him. Which brings us to our next candidate for the 2024 nomination, a woman who said Kavanaugh should be impeached for not being totally honest with the people accusing him of serial gang rape. AOC, I guess, she works hard. She deserved a little foot massage last night. She deserved a little deep, sensual love. So where do you go if you're AOC and you want love? There are a lot of places, obviously, most of the mainstream media, but no one's going to love you long time like Stephen Colbert. So AOC, our celebrity congresswoman.
Much better looking candidate.
From her district in LA, and it's a hellhole. You know, crime rampant, unemployment, everything. But she's busy schmoozing with. She goes to the gala, Met Gala, with her dress, and she goes and hangs with the beautiful people. And by the way, she makes $180,000 a year base, and makes much more than that speaking and appearing. And she still wants us to pay her student loans because she overextended herself at BU, which BU Clown College, which gave her a degree, I believe, in economics, but. We'll get to that another day. This was AOC getting a tongue bath from Stephen Colbert, who really, really wants young Alexandria to run for president. Let's listen.
Couple quick things before we go. You know, there's some speculation as to whether President Biden is going to run in 2024. There's some reports that he's a little frustrated that people keep asking because he keeps on saying yes. And people go, are you sure? I know somebody who's going to turn 35 about a month before the election in 2024. And they represent New York's 14th. Is that job appealing to you at all?
I think that...
Theoretically.
Listen, I think that we need to focus on keeping a democracy for anybody to be president in the next couple of years. And that's my central focus, is helping the people of this country.
Right? So it's possible.
I don't know about all that.
I'm just here to get you in trouble.
Exactly, you're getting me in trouble.
Okay, before we go, first of all, best wishes. I understand that you just got engaged. That's why it's one of those.
I heard you went to the bathroom this morning. Congrats.
How are the plans?
Imagine doing that with any conservative. I mean, it could be, whatever. Any woman, female conservative doing that with Carrie Lake. You think he'll do it with Carrie Lake? No. By the way, it's wonderful she's getting married, but let's not get too excited. She's marrying a guy who looks like Ironhead. That's how.
What's wrong with that?
I guess I give her credit, but that'll last a year, 2 years. She'll dump him for some celebrity, a famous actor, singer, or whatever.
He'll leave her for like Selma Hayek. He's going up.
Yeah. Then she talks about how hard it is to plan a wedding while in Congress. Like, what? They take more time off than anybody, and normal people plan weddings while going to work and doing their jobs every day. You dimwit. God, that'd be so great. It would be so great if she ran for president and got the nomination and went against someone smart like Ron DeSantis.
Oh,
it would be glorious. I don't know what I'd prefer, AOC or Kamala Harris. I guess Kamala would be better because she's even dumber and she's just hopeless that she can't, she on her feet. It's hopeless. If it isn't right in front of her on a script, she's hopeless. That'd be even better. But AOC would be good too, because she's pretty dumb. But we're hoping she runs. You go, Stephen Colbert. You keep pushing. You keep pressing.
AOC's never. She's never going to run. She's living a really cush life right now that she's not going to want to ruin.
Yeah, but you know what? I agree. But she's delusional. She really thinks.
I don't think so. I think she's like a fox, man. I think she knows what she's doing.
No. Well, you see these Instagram videos where she does her makeup. Or she like cooks her meal, and she really thinks that she is a fascinating person. People are fascinated by her. She has a real, and I understand the media slobbers over her. She's like one of these athletes, who these brainless athletes who, like LeBron or Roger Clemens, who think they're smart because the media acts as if they're what they say is profound and deep and smart. That's the way she is. The media fawns over you enough, you start believing them. You start believing that you're really intelligent and profound, and that's the way she is. And she thinks she could be senator. I wouldn't be shocked if she went at made a run at Chucky Schumer, which would be great to see those two eat each other alive. But she thinks she could be president. I have no doubt about it. But and I'd love it. It'd be great. It'd be great to see her debate DeSantis, even though the whole thing would be rigged and the media would be rooting hard for her. Imagine her as president. I guess you can imagine anything now. We have an empty shell of a president now and a vice president. I guess you can imagine anything. But she would definitely be... It'd be an adventure. It would be an adventure watching her go overseas. I mean, first of all, she's a radical nut who believes in the Green New Deal. She's a socialist, so it'd be terrible for America. But it would be entertaining, and it would make Stephen Colbert and Jimmy Kimmel very happy. Yeah, Howie Hampton, he won't run. He'll say, "I'm going to back AOC. That's my girl. That's my prediction." But we got a bunch more to get to. We got The View again. What did I say yesterday? The View just provides material. The View. What was yesterday? Yesterday was, oh, right, Clarence Thomas was going to outlaw his own marriage. That was good. He was going to be a quarter of a person. They were railing against abortion restrictions in the U.S., and they were sitting in the Bahamas where abortion's illegal. But I think they even went up more off the rails yesterday. And I asked this question. I'm going to get to Dan Lebatard, too, because it was pretty stupid. And Ghislaine Maxwell. And maybe Portnoy and Minahan coming after me. But I asked this question yesterday. Who could possibly have a problem with a high school football coach kneeling on the field after the game by himself for 30 seconds to pray? How could that, when you look around and, you know, there are migrants roasting in trucks at the border and there's, you know, there's fentanyl pouring in and there's, you know, drag queens dancing for little kids and this war in Ukraine and you got this out of control administration drive us into a recession and you're going to get upset. I mentioned Jemele Hill. Ilhan Omar was very upset that the Supreme Court ruled in this guy's favor. I'm going to guess it took him about 10 minutes to come to this conclusion. It was so clear. He didn't do it in the locker room. He didn't force the team to do it. He did it alone. Some kids voluntarily joined him. The guy is a former Marine. He's a stand-up guy. He's a religious guy. So what? How could that possibly bother you? Well, we found out it bothered some people, obviously, some crazy lefties who just hate the idea of a guy, a Christian, praying on the field. And they talked about, oh, Kaepernick. Kaepernick wasn't praying. Kaepernick was protesting. And Kaepernick worked for a private company. And he was disrespecting, you know, cops and military. I believe that. He hates cops. We know that. He hates America. But anyway, this guy had said his little prayer, and it upset people, and he got fired. He got fired. And there are people who support that, support firing the man for praying for 30 seconds. Anyway, we now know what's coming next. You know, as Jemele Hill and Ilhan Omar said, there'll be Muslims praying on the field. Next thing you know, so what? Just on their own praying? I'm pretty sure it happens already, but you see it after NFL games. Guys pray together. It doesn't, I don't know how that possibly bothers people, but according to The View, I think this was Anna Navarro, although you can't, it doesn't, they had a conversation and they're all just as dumb and crazy as the next, but we now know that what's coming next, the next shoe to drop is they're going to be killing chickens on the 50-yard line, sacrificing chickens on the 50-yard line after high school football games. Do I have that right? Is that the, according to Anna, that's a religion, a popular religion in South Florida. And this free exercise of religion on the field after a game means they'll be sacrificing animals. Do we have this brilliant take from Anna and the girls in The View?
Oh, yeah.
I live in Miami. In Miami, there are a lot of people who practice Santeria.
Mm-hmm.
Santeria includes, as a religious performance, yes, as a religious ritual,
the removal
killing
chicken.
Animals.
Yeah.
Okay? Are you okay? So ask yourself, are you okay if a Jewish person pulls out a prayer shawl and goes to the middle of the field? Are you okay if a Muslim person pulls out a prayer rung? Are you okay if a Santero pulls
that's
out a
point.
Chicken in
that's
the middle
the
of the field?
That's the point.
They agree. They're like, yeah, right. You're right. Well, first of all, the Jewish, Muslim, whatever, why not? Who cares? They're alone on the field after the game, not forcing anyone to join them. Why would anyone stop them? Why would anyone care? I will say she's right. I will draw the line at sacrificing chickens on the field to their whatever, their God, their religion. These people are just insane. I asked the question, how could this bother people? I guess we know who it bothers. It bothers these lunatics on The View. And I'm sure it bothers Dan Le Batard as well. Dan Le Batard, I guess he just does a podcast now. I'm not even sure what he's on anymore. He used to be on ESPN. I don't know why he ever left ESPN. He has the same views and attitude as everybody on there. He's a radical lefty. He fit in great there. I always thought, you know, he's whatever. He's pro-abortion, anti-gun, all the usual requirements. Hated Trump. All the things that you need to survive and thrive at ESPN. He had it, but he left and he's on his own doing a podcast. And he was upset, like a lot of people, like a lot of lefties, upset when the Supreme Court overruled Roe v. Wade. And he had a great take on this. Can we hear it?
Sure we can.
Didn't help right our rights. They didn't get the right to vote until more than 12 decades later. And so you've seen the legal reaction to the move toward progress, empowerment, and equality for them. Against the will of the citizens in a voting democracy, Me Too just got sent the hell back to 1972. So now the unborn are more protected than they were. The born, not so much. Congratulations, America. The fetus is now safer in the womb than it is 5 years later, when it can be sent off to school and slaughtered. The latest appalling indignity is that the Republican Party, as Donald Trump once said on tape at the start of his 10,000 Watergates, has grabbed American women by law of our land against the will of the voting people. An American woman now has less agency over her body, life, and future than her government. And then she did 4 decades ago.
How is he not on whatever Around the Horn or PTI still? I don't understand what happened there, but I mean, could he jam more just stupid cliches into 1 2-minute rant? More agency over her body. It's just so ridiculous. Against the voting democracy. I mean, he's not dumb. He knows we're not a democracy. He knows we're a Democrat, a constitutional republic. He knows we don't, it's not one person, one vote. I know it upsets these people that, you know, like Stern and AOC, that we have an electoral college, but that's not how it works. And, you know, when the Supreme Court, I'll say it again, we'll say it 100 times, when these unelected judges send the issue back to the states to be decided by the voters and their elected representatives, that's not an attack on democracy. I know that's a tough one to grasp, but that's not an attack on democracy. And I just took a quick look because I knew it was ridiculous. The fetus is now safer than a kid in school. First of all, so what? I like the idea of fetus being safe. That's good. Fetuses should be safe. Secondly, it's ridiculous. I mean, again, even if you're pro-choice, don't you think 63 million abortions in 49 years, a little much? Don't you think there's just a few too many people deciding because of convenience to end their pregnancy? Don't you think maybe the culture, the abortion culture, went a little too far, Dan Lebert? Maybe not. Maybe you think we should have more abortions, but most of us do. Most of the country, vast majority, are against abortions after the first trimester. You are wrong. This is not against the will of the people. Secondly, I just looked it up. James Allen Fox, a criminologist at Northeastern, he did a study on this, and he says the chances of a child being shot in a school shooting, 10 million to one. A child, according to Fox, is more likely to die in an earthquake or by getting hit by lightning. Now, that doesn't mean we need more school shootings. There are too many, obviously. They're always disturbing. But the idea that you should be, that you're unsafe at school, that you're unsafe in a classroom is ridiculous. It's like COVID. You're more likely to die in a bus crash or walking across the street than you are to die in a school shooting. And I hope kids are safe in school, but I also hope they're safe in the womb. It's a good day. That's a good thing for America, despite all these, you know, crazy radicals like Howie Hampton's and AOC and Dan Le Batard and Dave Portnoy and Kirk Minahan. I guess we We got time to get to that, don't we?
Yeah, you can do Shay.
All right, let's do Shay, and then we'll play the sound from Portnoy and Minahan discussing, I guess, abortion, right? Discussing abortion. I'm sorry I missed it. I'll have to check that out. But first, Shay Concrete, you know what they can do for you. You know, this summer, you got to do a summer home improvement project. I got one for you. New precast concrete steps, whether you're building a new home or you're remodeling an old one. Shay has great values on precast concrete steps with designs that will fit your home. There are many options available, including concrete, but you can also customize with beautiful stone or brick. A new staircase will dramatically upgrade the front entrance of your home, giving you a much better curb appeal. You'll be the envy of the neighborhood. They remove the old steps, bring in new steps within hours. You got a whole new look, and your house looks better and is worth more. This isn't just an expense. This is an investment, an upgrade in your home. With one phone call, Shay will deliver a turnkey installation experience. In a few hours, you'll have a brand new front entrance, and you will love it. You can learn more about Shay's precast concrete steps at shayconcrete.com. Also at shayconcrete.com, you got to look for a job, a good one. Shay is hiring. They're always hiring. The business is good. It is booming. Right now, they have between 15 and 20 open positions. These are career opportunities for all different types of people with all different types of skill sets. All you got to do is pass a drug test. Like, this is on Dave Portnoy's podcast.
Yeah, the Dave Portnoy Show.
Ooh, the Dave Portnoy Show. And I guess they talked about the fallout for his rant where he wants to get rid of the Constitution. And all these people are on there.
So it started off as Chris Klemmer going on, potentially getting a job with Barstool. He used to be on Kirk's show. And then it just...
That's Carano's old partner, right?
Yes. Yep. And then they went
He's
off.
He's the one with them. The tiny head.
Yeah. Can you just tell by the headphones?
So they have a little rundown. They do a little PTI thing.
Yeah.
And they get to Roe v. Wade, and Portnoy, as we know, went on this rant because, you know, he's a pro-abortion guy, and he was upset that they overturned Roe v. Wade. I'm sure he didn't really, he admitted it was this emotional reaction. He hadn't read up, wasn't familiar with the case entirely. It didn't outlaw abortion, we know that, but he was very upset, big pro-abort guy. And lots of people criticized him for it. It was insane, saying we need to get rid of the Constitution. It's old and we shouldn't allow old documents like the U.S. Constitution. And I pointed out how absurd it is that a guy like Dave Portnoy would be up for getting rid of the First Amendment. If you get rid of the Constitution, Dave, the First Amendment is gone. And as I'll say it again, you'd be in jail. You think the Biden regime wouldn't be coming after people like you? When you called in the same rant, he calls Biden an idiot. He says he'll vote for him, but he calls him an idiot. Instead of having, big tech and Twitter and Facebook regulating people, banning people, it would be the government. It would be Nina Jankowicz. It would be the Biden administration. They'd be coming after people. If you're in the communications business and you're as prominent as Dave Portnoy, he should probably cherish the First Amendment. That's just my take, but he disagrees. He thinks it's an antiquated document. Anyway, I made that criticism, and I pointed out that he's now going to be voting with his friends at Business Insider and New York Times. He's on their team. He's voting for Biden because five or six unelected judges decided to let the people decide the issue of abortion. That's apparently an attack on democracy, according to a lot of people on the left. But, I like it. I like it. But anyway, so there's Kirky, and who else is there? I can't even see. Who's the other guy?
Top right is the host of the show, Eddie, and bottom left is Klemmer.
Eddie's the host? What's Portnoy? Your sidekick?
It's kind of like Eddie just facilitates the show because Dave just has no... I don't know. He usually just... He gets there, Eddie posts the subjects or questions, and then Dave will go off on whatever.
All right, let's listen.
You know who I saw? Your old buddy there, Callahan.
Jerry. Yeah, well, yeah, he's waving his arms.
She screams at clouds. Yes. I don't know. It's, but I guess not surprising, really, to be honest.
No, but go ahead. Yeah, it's just weird that you know, they're with you until there's, by you I mean anybody who is even centrist in thinking, until the one issue comes up and then they abandon it totally. And that's where the party's, well, whatever. I'm not gonna, we're here to talk about way more important things than abortion. We're here to talk about somebody who, frankly,
that's the first one.
What do they talk about more important than abortion? Kyrie Irving?
No, Chris Klemmer getting a job there.
Oh, did he get a job?
It seems like it.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, seems like it.
Did I say anything else? I mean, am I an extremist? Am I a far right fringe? Because I want voters, people to decide this issue. I'm a far right extremist.
Exactly.
So who knows?
Yeah. Well, we shall see. I hope we shall see.
Yeah, we shall see. Tell your buddy Jerry I said hello.
Boy, he is mad.
What
Jesus.
He gets so fucking mad about?
You know what he's mad about, Dave? Honestly, what it comes down to with him is that he asked you to go on the show like 6 months ago. You initially, according to him, said yes and then said no. So now all that animus it's got nothing to do. He's just falling in line with Dan Bongino and all these other guys about the abortion thing. But he's mad because you didn't go on his show. And this is his way of taking it up. And I love the guys, but I'm just telling you that. And I know you like him too.
Yeah, I like him too. I like him too. I it didn't really bother me. I mean, whatever. He's very predictable on where he's going to fall on every single issue. Well,
as is where like guys like me and you actually are different is occasionally, like for me, I don't want to, again, do like, I think it's okay to say, hey, you know, I have some conservative values or whatever. I can vote Republican. I believe this and that, but I also believe that I can be pro-choice. Like the world, by the way, that's the way a lot of America feels. But we're getting drowned out by everyone hard on the left and everyone hard on the right, getting completely washed out by that.
That's
so
pretty much what I tried to say in so many words, and people come, hey, the bottom line is this, and I'm sure Eddie was going to ask me about it. And I knew I had already said it. I really don't care what other people do. I love people. I'm getting people. There was one perfect who I retweeted. They're like, you.
So that's about people criticizing Portnoy's take on abortion. You know what? I had a conversation with Kirk the other night about abortion. You know, and there's not many people I have debates. Probably should have had it on the show, but yeah, you know, he's pro-choice. I'm not. We've debated it before, and it was perfectly, you know, a reasonable, respectful argument about abortion. And we made fun of Portnoy because, as Kirk always points out, he's the dumbest smart guy or the dumbest rich guy or the dumbest, you know, successful celebrities ever known. And he's right. I mean, you know, that rant about the Constitution was just dumb. I like the guy. I mean, I certainly root for him when he's paddling with Business Insider or the New York Times or whoever. And I root for Barstool, but that was just dumb saying get rid of the Constitution. That was like silly for a guy who makes his living saying provocative things. But I hate that too. Oh, no, it's stream right, no, stream left. I mean, let's talk about the issue. I don't run from anything. I'll talk about it with anybody. I argue about it with anybody. You think it's extreme right to say, and again, I'm pro-life, but let the voters decide. It's not going to change in Massachusetts. Nothing's going to change in New York or California or Illinois. It's not going to change. So it's extreme right to say, let the voters decide. If the people of Mississippi or Missouri want to ban abortion, good. If they want to regulate it, then Florida is going to have the, you know, 15-week law. Florida, you'll still be able to get your abortions, but not after the first trimester. That's the way it is in most of the civilized world. That's the way it is in Western Europe. That's not the way it is in China or North Korea, and it was not the way it was here in the United States. That's a good thing. That's progress, in my opinion, but Maybe we'll call Kirky up and scream about it on the show next time. But anyway, we got to leave it there. What did I miss? Anything? Look at all these tech.
New LIV golf tournament tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. With who's the new guy?
Well, they got a few new ones.
They signed up some amateurs. That's a good idea. Sign up amateurs who need the money immediately. The guys who are nervous. If I go to the PGA Tour, am I going to make any money? I got to pay for my hotels and travel. And they say, here you go. Here's $50 million.
I forget his name, but he was the second highest ranked amateur, I think, in the country.
I saw that.
But they also got Matthew Wolf, who's a young freaking
stud. That's another guy who was shaky on the tour. They thought he was going to come in, you know, and make a bunch of money and win, and he wasn't. So they get him, and he's kind of a quirky guy. It's a good one. Mm. But who had the press conference yesterday? It was Pat Perez and Patrick Reed.
Patrick. Patrick Reed, Pat Perez, and Brooks Koepka. And I don't have the sound because it was crap, but
I heard it. They just said, we're here to play golf. You want to talk about, you know, whatever, Saudi Arabia, we're here to play golf. All they have to say is, what about China?
Well, they said,
all you have to say.
Yeah. They asked Pat Perez, they're like, do you think about this stuff with Saudi Arabia and blah, blah, blah. And he just goes, no, it was the best.
You know, that's the truth. Do you think that guy like Brooks Koepka, who has no soul, he is just a killer. Not a real killer, but on the course. I mean, he's just he's not an emotional, sentimental guy. Neither is Pat Perez. He's best known for throwing tantrums. Patrick Reed had his parents kicked off the course because his wife. These guys don't have any sentiment, no emotion, no loyalty, no love. They're just, you know, golfers. That's what they are. They're competitors. They want to win. They want to make money, and they don't give a damn about Saudi Arabia. Just like the other guys don't give a damn what China's doing. LeBron James doesn't care that China has Muslims in concentration camps making the crap for Nike. He doesn't care. He pretends, but, you know, pretends to care about certain issues, but he doesn't really care. And these guys were honest about it. That's why I like them. But they're honest. They said, do you care about Saudi Arabia? Nope. Pay to play golf and make money.
This is the biggest news that came out today, though, was Zach Johnson just confirmed that LIV golfers will not be eligible for Ryder Cup captain's picks.
Ooh, that is pretty big. That is pretty big. No Dustin Johnson, no Brooks Koepka on the Ryder Cup. Good.
Weisberger, Westwood, Garcia, Poulter, DJ, Bryson, Brooks.
Did you say Woods?
Weisberger, Westwood.
Well, those are Europeans.
Yeah, so yeah. No, I'm saying, but for both sides.
Oh, well, that's all right. Just adds a little more tension, you know, a little more animosity, which is always good. That's right. They're teeing it up the weekend in Portland, right? In Oregon?
Tomorrow
through Saturday. I'll have to get on YouTube, watch some commercial-free golf.
Yeah.
Even though they killed Jamal Khashoggi, I'm still going to watch. I'm a terrible person.
DJ's the favorite anyway. 6-1.
Is he? Yeah. Is Phil on the board?
Phil
was a mess.
He's not even.
All right, forget it. Well, who cares? He'll be wearing black, wearing his sunglasses, and probably sucking again. But
looking like he got his 200 million.
he got his 200 million. Good for him. All right, we'll leave it there. Thanks to everybody for watching and listening and texting and tweeting, and thanks to you, Ironhead. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is the Callahan Show, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
Shaking my head and thinking something ain't right. Is it just me? Am I losing my mind? Am I standing on the edge of the end of time? Am I the only one? Tell me I'm not.
Who thinks it takes. Like the show? Leave a 5-star review on Apple and Spotify.
In these tough economic times, rely on 1AAuto.com. Save money and empower yourself. In good times and bad, get great prices. Watch 1A Auto's massive library of free how-to videos. Fix it yourself easy and fast with 1AAuto.com.
Finding suitable mental health medications can be a challenge. The GeneSight test may help. Did you know that genetics can play an important role in gaining insight on how a person may respond to various medications? Understanding this may help reduce medication trial and error. GeneSight is a genetic test that analyzes variations in DNA. It shows how genes may affect someone's metabolism or response to medications commonly prescribed to treat depression, anxiety, and other mental health conditions. Visit GeneSight.com for more information.